Well, good morning, everyone. Here I am wearing the new pants I got for Christmas, because what every tech lover like me wants for Christmas is clothes. So last week, one of the funniest things that's happened in a while happened. It was after church, and Macon and a couple of the other kids here were running up and down this ramp after church, just having a great time. And you may know Kevin's granddaughter, Jade, a little blonde girl. You may have seen her around. She is sitting at the bottom of that ramp, pouting a little bit because she had hurt her toe or something like that. And she's just sort of sitting there, and they tried to comfort her. She didn't want to get up. And so Jen says, "Macon, why don't you go over and give Jade a hug?" So he says, "Yeah, sure, no problem." Well, actually he said, "Yep," which is the only thing he says to everything now. And he walks over there, and if you don't know, Macon, when he hugs, he doesn't use his arms. He just sort of leans into you, right? So you can hug him. So he walks over to Jade sitting on the ground, and he tries to figure out the best way to get his head down there. He gets his feet like this, and he starts doing this. And Jade is just looking at him like, "Who is this strange boy?" So he tries again, and he resets his feet a little wider and tries doing this again. Never even touched her. She looked at him like he was strange, like every girl ever looked at me up until a few years ago. So, you know, it really made me laugh. And it made a lot of people, the others who are watching, laugh. But yes, Macon needs to learn to hug with his arms. So someone, please take the time to teach my son what a real hug is, okay? Maybe they can do it in nursery next week. Today we start a new series. You may have seen the video, but the title of this series is Reboot. You think of a computer that reboots after a while to get started again, or you think of maybe even a movie franchise that has to be rebooted. But I think that it makes sense for us right now because all of the interruptions on churches in general that have sort of changed the way things have happened, plus the way our church has transitioned in staff and Ron retiring, all means that even though our mission remains unchanged, there's sort of, I hope, a little bit of a reboot coming in 2021. A chance to keep the same mission, but to sort of start it up again. And so I thought today we'd spend some time talking about the mission of the church, which, again, remains unchanged. It's just something that transitions into new seasons and new times and new ways of doing things. And this has been set up long before I was ever here. I looked at this mission. It was part of what drew me to this church. And I'm excited to have the opportunity to sort of revamp and reboot our conversation about why our church is here and what our purpose is. And so if perhaps you've forgotten or haven't heard it in a while, the mission of First Christian Church centers around these three basic ideas. You see them on our walls around our church. You see them on our website, in our literature. But it's number one, that we make sure people connect with God. Number two, we make sure people grow in Christ. Number three, we help people serve others. These are what we feel are our three most basic and important tasks. That everyone should be able to connect with God, that everyone should be able to grow in Christ, that everyone should come to a point of serving others. And through our church and the things we do, hopefully people can progress through these things and connect with God in that way. And over the next few weeks in our series on Reboot, I want to look at these ideas. And so today, I want to cover the most foundational aspect of this, what I think is essential to every part of being a Christian, and that is the idea of connecting with God. So connecting with God means that we, at the heart of our church's mission, is helping others connect with God and build a relationship with Him in ways that they never have before. And that relationship with God is the basic starting point for every person. That we trust God, that we listen to Him, that we have this relationship with Him, that means we have begun our journey in faith. And keeping that connection is what allows us to continue moving forward. So the first and most basic is this connecting with God. A couple things that I think this means. Number one, I think connecting with God means talking to Him openly in unmemorized ways, praying from our hearts and listening to God as much as we ask God. So connecting with God is a matter of speaking with Him openly, praying openly. When I say unmemorized ways, I mean we don't simply recite things that we memorized. We speak to God from our heart as much as we can. I think I have another point that pops up with each one. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. That didn't work. Okay. My apologies. Number one is praying to God openly. Praying is a communication, a conversation with God. Which means that it's not just a matter of telling God what we want, but actually listening for God to speak back. Not so much necessarily an audible voice, but listening to what God moves in our hearts, how He forms our thoughts, and sort of speaks to us by bringing things to mind. So connecting with God is first and foremost praying openly. Number two, I think connecting with God is a matter of regularly attending church as much as we can. That doesn't mean that it's a bullet point that we get points every week if we go to church. It means that it's a regular positive habit in our lives that we get together with one another and stay grounded in our faith through a church body. Can Christians be Christians and believe in God and practice their faith without going to church? Of course. But to do so would be missing God's design for the world. His primary method of reaching people. And usually the people who don't go to church as regularly tend to lose their yearning and their desire to keep up that connection and relationship with God. And so church is this invaluable aspect of God's design. And so part of connecting with God means connecting with His body and becoming someone who is committed to that. Number three, I think that connecting with God means worshiping wholeheartedly. This is the hard one for me. I'm not someone who there's lots of ways of worship, but in the practice of singing songs, I'm not one who sings very well. And I'm glad all of you aren't like, yeah, we know, Tyler. Okay. I'm not real musically inclined. And so for me, sometimes that letting loose and enjoying worship and giving my heart to God entirely can be difficult. And I understand, because I don't want anyone to do things that are uncomfortable to them. However, there's something about the heart of worship that is, in fact, an experiential connection to God. It is head and heart together, drawing us closer to Him through an environment created by the praise music, and allows us to connect with Him in that moment in a way we might not otherwise. And to neglect that, worshiping wholeheartedly and freely, is missing an opportunity for a real connection with God. So connecting with God is praying, it's regularly attending church, it's worshiping wholeheartedly, and then lastly, I think sometimes it means that we need to make that next step of either being baptized or formalizing a membership in the church to say that we are committed to this local body. In other words, baptism is that moment in which we begin our journey and we say that we are committed to this relationship with Christ. If you've already been baptized through immersion, then it may be becoming a member of the church and saying you are committed to this particular local body. These are things we do to help us connect with God. And so, in our mission of the church, connecting with God, growing in Christ, serving others, we start with, at the most basic foundation, connecting with God. And these are some of the things that it means. But the thing that I really want to emphasize today is how grateful we ought to be for the opportunity to connect with God at all. If you guys have read the Old Testament, you know that connecting with God was an extremely arduous task at one time. It involved layers upon layers of difficulty, of dogma, of people standing in your way, and sacrifices and rituals that had to be done to even be close to the presence of God. The temple itself was set up as a series of concentric rectangles in which you had to have certain qualifications to go into each layer with the belief that God in some sense dwelt in the center. And so the idea of being in God's presence and connecting with Him was something that was foggy and full of haze, with so many, an obstacle course keeping you from that true connection. And so in those days, the connection with God was so different. But we have the amazing opportunity through Christ to come to God openly and freely. And that connection to God was always, always at the center of what the Israelites, when they were at their best, desired, and what we are looking for today. And I think I can show that with a little bit of history and Scripture. So if you don't mind, I would like to spend a little bit of time now talking about the biggest reboot opportunity in Israel's history. And I think I can show you how this all connects back. The biggest reboot opportunity in Israel's history occurred with what we call the Babylonian exile. Now, to get a little bit of history, for generations, Israel was ruled by a series of kings, right? The first one was Saul. The second one was David. The third was Solomon. And then after that, the history is a lot more difficult to remember, mostly because it didn't go well. But for generation upon generation, there were kings. And these kings were primarily, for the most part, selfish, power-hungry. They often disobeyed God and often drew people to worshiping other gods and mixing religions together. And many of the people in Israel followed the king's example, and they were often led astray. So the kings didn't necessarily do the best job. After a couple dozen kings, most of whom were awful, God had had enough. And so he tried to warn the people. And he sent out prophets who would tell them that there was a coming punishment if they didn't change their ways. And he did that through people like Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and others. But the people did not listen or want to change then. And so God finally punished them. And he did it through a nation called Babylon. Now, Babylon was this huge empire in the ancient Near East that dominated much of the world at the time. Initially, the Israelites were able to hold them off and keep them from dominating Israel through God's miracles that He performed on their behalf to protect them. But eventually, because of their behavior, their worship of other gods, God decided to let nature take its course, and He stopped intervening. And in 586 B.C., the Babylonians marched into Jerusalem, toppled walls and buildings, destroyed the temple, and drug away the smartest and most able people to live in other places, leaving only the poorest and most destitute behind. And we call this the Babylonian exile. And you think about how difficult that must have been to believe that God was in the city, literally, in the temple, and that they were the chosen people of God, and then to see all of this come upon them. And really, it is impossible to overstate the importance of the exile in the history of Judaism. It was this period in which most of the books of the Old Testament were probably put together, cataloged, and finalized into what we now see as the Old Testament. It was in this period that synagogues started to be built so the people could worship in different locations. It was in this period the people living in exile desperately wanted to keep their Jewish heritage alive and clung more faithfully to their laws and their traditions than ever before. In essence, the exile is what turned Jewishness into what we think of as Jewishness. But it wasn't really the first go-around. It was the reboot. It was Judaism 2.0 when the exile ended that allowed that new form to come. And the painful things led to this greater connection between people and God. In their reboot came a better connection than before. So, historically, what happened? Why did the exile end? To try to keep it somewhat brief, eventually there was a military commander by the name of Cyrus the Great, who put together or united the Persian and Median empires and used their combined strength to tackle and defeat the Babylonians. Anytime you have one big empire, the only way to get rid of them is to have an even bigger empire, which is exactly what happened. And Cyrus the Great dominated them. We typically call it the Persian Empire, even though it was Persian and Median, but we usually call it the Persians, and they were even bigger than the Babylonians had ever been. And Cyrus had a little bit different way of doing things. He believed that it could only be beneficial to him to let the people pray to their gods on his behalf. In other words, pray to your God that I'll be successful. And so Cyrus didn't really care what gods were being prayed to, and so he had a different policy. And in 538, he declared that any Jews living in exile or wherever else they lived could return to Jerusalem and rebuild it. And upon that declaration, around 538, 539, the period of the exile was over. And here is where we can really pick up the text in the book of Ezra. And you can see these things play out. If you got your Bibles, I'd love for you to turn to Ezra chapter 1. And again, all of this is talking about how this reboot of Israel allowed greater connection with God. In the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, in order to fulfill the word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah, the Lord moved the heart of Cyrus, king of Persia, to make a proclamation throughout his realm and to put it into writing. And this is what Cyrus, king of Persia, says. The Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth and has appointed me to build a temple for him at Jerusalem in Judah. Any of his people among you may go up to Jerusalem in Judah and build the temple of the Lord, the God of Israel, the God who is in Jerusalem, and may their God be with them. And in any locality where survivors may now be living, the people are to provide them with silver and gold, with goods and livestock, and with free will offerings for the temple of God in Jerusalem. Then the family heads of Judah and Benjamin, and the priests and Levites, everyone whose heart God had moved, prepared to go up and build the house of the Lord in Jerusalem. And so, exactly kind of as we told the story, Cyrus makes his declaration, the people are allowed to come back, and this rebuild, this reboot, begins. And the first thing that they decide they need to do is to build an altar to God. Altar being the symbol of their way of connecting with God through sacrifice, very different from ours, but nonetheless, the way they could connect to God. And so we jump down to Ezra chapter 3 now, and begin in verse 1. When the seventh month came and the Israelites had settled in their towns, the people assembled together as one in Jerusalem. Then Joshua, son of Jozadak, and his fellow priests, and Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and his associates. Don't forget any of those names, okay? There's a quiz. His associates began to build the altar of God to sacrifice burnt offerings on it in accordance with what was written in the law of Moses, the man of God. The very first thing they do is build the altar. Jump down to verse 6. On the first day of the seventh month, they began to offer burnt offerings to the Lord. And check this little detail. Though the foundation of the Lord's temple had not yet been laid. In other words, they didn't wait to finish the entire temple. They built an altar and started connecting with God right away. Isn't that interesting? They developed the altar first so they could connect with God in that sense. You can keep going in the story, and eventually the next thing they decide they need to do is to build the foundation of the temple itself so they could get that done. And if we were to jump down to verse 10, we can see a little bit of that. When the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests in their vestments and with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals, took their places to praise the Lord as prescribed by David, king of Israel. With praise and thanksgiving, they sang to the Lord, He is good, His love toward Israel endures forever. And all the people gave a great shout of praise to the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. So they rebuild the altar, then they build the foundation, and I'm going to have to summarize the rest of the story because it takes a little while. But the connection to God is returning. After this, some nearby cities took offense to them rebuilding the city, and they wrote a letter to the king, and eventually the building of the new temple had to stop for a while. And then over time, the political tides changed. A prophet by the name of Haggai arises and urges the people to finally finish building the temple, and they do. And then a little bit after that, a guy by the name of Nehemiah helps them rebuild the walls of the city, despite all the physical threats of the people around them. And with that, with the building of the wall, Judaism 2.0, the reboot, is more or less complete. With an emphasis and a focus on first and foremost connecting with God through the altar, the symbol of their connection. That is where they started. Connecting with God was the foundation in their reboot and their rebuild. It used to be so much more difficult to connect with God, but connecting with Him has always been the priority. And these people did risk their life to do so. The neighbors were always threatening them physically, trying to get them to stop building, but they kept on going. And when Jesus died as the ultimate sacrifice, He made it unnecessary to keep making these animal sacrifices or going through these layers of ritual or doing all these things to get closer to the center, because we realize that God does not live at the center of some temple, but God fills the heavens and fills our hearts. And then when Jesus died, that became unnecessary to go that route, for we can connect with God directly through His blood. He declared that His blood, that by His blood, we can connect with God free of charge because the price was already paid. So never take for granted how difficult it is, should be, to connect with God. But by the grace of His Son, we can do it. And it's a central part of what it means to be a Christian and what our church wants to encourage all to do. Churches have gone through some difficult times lately. Though our church has been blessed. I mean, really, we've had so many faithful people that we've always been doing okay. But for other reasons, involving, you know, our transition and everything, 2021 may be a little bit of a reboot year when we get some things back to normal and the Connection Cafe opens up again and Sunday school classes start again and our growth groups really get functioning again and we can have classes and all sorts of fun things that can keep us connected and growing and doing all these things. It's our reboot year. But the mission always remains the same. Connect with God, grow in Christ, serve one another. And it starts with making sure every one of us connects with God. So never forget to appreciate how special it is to connect with the God of the universe, who is so much greater than us. People have sacrificed everything to gain that, even a glimpse of God through the fuzzy lens of the sacrificial system of the Old Testament. But we get to come to Him every day free of charge and take advantage of the blood of Christ to be close to Him. We are tremendously blessed. And Israel rebooted and focused on connecting. That is our first focus. And next week we'll get into the rest of the mission, but this is a place for us to start. So what is the application to all this? I know, that was a lot of history. I love history. Not everyone does. So what's the application? It's simple. Take time this week to connect with God better. Make sure you connect with God, because you can't lead others to connect with God if you don't have that connection yourself, if you haven't built that relationship. And as we said earlier when we had the little list, that means that we pray openly to God from our hearts. It's okay to have a memorized prayer for a meal, maybe, but once in a while you ought to speak from your heart and tell God how you feel and listen as well. It means regularly attending church. If you haven't been as good at it lately, there's a lot of reasons for that. That's okay. But let's be more regular about attendance, knowing this is how God wants to work in the world. Number three, it means worshiping God wholeheartedly. If you're one of those people like me who struggles to kind of let go and worship and really give everything to God, try it sometime. Give God a sacrifice of praise. Shout for joy like they did in the Old Testament. And allow that connection with God to be felt in that moment. And maybe you're one of those people where ultimately the thing you really need to do is to connect with God in a more formal sense, because you've been putting it off for a long time. And finally, it's time to commit. And maybe you need to talk to me or someone else about being baptized and formalizing your journey and relationship with Him so that you have His Holy Spirit in you and so that you can continue to develop and grow in Him. Or maybe you feel the need to say, as a matter of fact, that you are committed to this particular locality of the church and that you want to work with these people to grow the kingdom. Maybe you want to talk to me or someone else about becoming a member. The point is, take time this week to connect with God. Some people like to listen to worship music. Some people like to write and journal. Some people like to sit out in nature. All of that is good, as long as it means you're connecting with God and you're not neglecting church. Just whatever you can do to connect with God, take the time. And it's not something to take for granted, because literally Jesus died so that we could do that very thing. God in heaven, I thank You that You not only just wanted to connect with us, You pursued us with every part of Yourself, to the point of sacrificing, to the point of coming down out of heaven and all the goodness of that to chase us here on earth, to become incarnate as a human being and experience all the suffering and trials and struggles that come with that. God, You have been running toward us. If only we will look up to You. If only we'll turn around and take a single step. God, help us this week. Maybe we've gotten just sort of out of our habits, but help us to connect with You better, create better ones as we come to this new year. Help our church as we think about what it means to sort of reboot our mission, not changing it, but rebooting some of the activities that have dropped off simply because of coronavirus and other reasons. Help us, Lord, to reboot joyfully Your mission, that we might change this community and people's lives, and ultimately all those around us. God, I thank You that because of the blood of Your Son, I have the chance to come to You and connect with You, where You actually listen to what I say and can count the hairs on my head. But we never think that that should be obvious, because it's not. You are so much greater than us that we have to come to you humbly, appreciating the very fact that you care. We love you and thank you for all that you have done. Connect with us more. Know our hearts and our minds, and speak into our lives. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. So every week, we take a moment to remember the very fact that we can connect with God. But we don't call it connecting, we call it communing. And in that moment, we commune with God by remembering what He's done for us and taking a quiet moment to pray and listen. And so if you grabbed a communion kit on the way in, we're going to give you some time to pray and think and prepare your heart and use that time to honor God and connect, commune with Him. Well, that's the very purpose of this time and the very mission of our church. Connect with God just a little bit more. And I hope that there's some encouragement and maybe some challenge there. We are ready to be done here in a minute. We're going to sing a song. But I do pray that you take time in a kind of a busy season right now, but to reconnect with God as you come into this new year. We all need it. And it's what will sustain us through 2021 and beyond. But thank you for coming. Be sure to pick up your Christmas cards. Don't forget your children in the nursery, kind of important. But thank you guys for coming, and have a wonderful week.